Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. And we hope you all had a very good Thanksgiving. And if you traveled, that your travel was uneventful and easy, because as travel, we won't mention it because it's still a bit of a trigger for Amy, but she had a trip recently that was very...
I will be going nowhere.
It's very stressful. Yeah. You know, when you've had it, when you get in a flight situation where it's just like you get bumped or the flight's late or whatever happens, I mean, you just don't want to get, like, I'm retiring from flying.
For
a very long time. Yeah. I flew, I think I've only flown once this year, which is amazing, 'cause I usually fly a lot, but I'm kind of excited about that. I love doing conferences and what, but I did a lot virtual this year and a lot of conferences local. So, but anyway, we hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. Realize that this show is dropping on Black Friday. So maybe you are just hanging out, or you're in a shopping mall, or you're scrolling Amazon or something. But we both felt that it was a really good time to do a show about your success mindset, which we're not trying to go all like empowering Tony Robbins on you, but there is a secret to success that has absolutely nothing to do with the things that you do, but it has to do with, you know, your own, what word am I looking for, Amy? Motivation, inspiration, positive thinking.
I mean, and here, this goes to show the difference between me and Penny. I'm like, realistic expectations. Because truly though, I think it does. There is a difference between setting yourself up for success and setting yourself up for failure, strictly based on whether or not your expectations make sense for not your whole career, but certainly like where you're at in your author career at this moment. I think that's easy to forget for a lot of people too, is that like, it's not, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's very true. Success as an author is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so if you're focused on all the things that typically happen for people 5, 6, even 10 years down the road, please don't fall out of your seat as you're listening. And that's what you expect for yourself and your book from the jump. You're going to feel like a big fat failure.
And it's
we don't want that to be the case at all, because this can be a really amazing experience. And we see this with our clients all the time. We have clients that really embrace this whole process as, I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to figure out. This is going to take a lot of little steps. But then we have clients that, like I just talked about, that expect everything to happen all at once and to validate all the hard work they've put in. And they want it all to happen in 6 months. And when it doesn't, it crushes them. And it's horrible to watch. But so we definitely don't, you know, want you to end up on that end of the spectrum of things.
Well, and I am reminded of an author that I worked with a bunch of years ago, Amy. I think it was even before you and I started working together. And he was a thriller writer, a really, really, really good thriller. I mean, this guy could crank out a book. And I remember when I read his first book, I don't know if he had three, I think he had three books. It's been a while. And he was so excited when his first book came out, and the book did really well. But as he kept releasing books, and obviously as he kept releasing books, more books came on the scene. Anybody who has been publishing for any length of time knows that publishing has become progressively more competitive. It gets harder to get noticed, all the things. So by the time that his third book came out, he had these kind of not really realistic expectations for this book, right? Mm-hmm. And he was really upset. He was upset at himself. He was upset at the industry. He was upset at the world, and he never wrote again. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why this is such a shame. I may have mentioned this guy on a podcast before just because the story stands out to me. But one of the reasons that this is so sad is because this is somebody where I read, and this doesn't happen all the time, even though, listen, y'all that work with me, like, we love y'all, but not everybody's book is going to turn into a movie. And please stop asking me to turn your book into a movie. We'll probably cover that in the Success Mindset show today, people. But literally, like, I read this first book and I'm like, oh my gosh, this book could be a movie. Like, that was just so freaking brilliant. And it's a shame. So in this case, like, I think that the lesson here is that he focused on what he wasn't getting. He wasn't getting the movie deal. He wasn't getting, and this was something that there's nothing wrong with saying, I want this book to be a movie, or I want this book to be a Netflix series. I think that's great, but that's not like a goal that you can, it's not something that you wake up. I wrote a piece for Publishers Weekly a bunch of years ago called Nobody is Born Famous. That is, getting a movie deal with Netflix or Amazon Prime, whatever, is not something that happens to you the day your book is born, right? It's kind of like, I'm going to have a salad today for lunch, so by tomorrow morning, I expect to be 20 pounds lighter. That's not how this works, right? So I think that part of it is the success mindset is also by not, and I'm not trying to tamp down your goals at all, but bring them, realize that bigger goals have many more steps to them, right? And some goals should just kind of go in your diary. I mean, not to be real. So Amy and I told Amy I would say this on the show, but I'm just, and I know she thought I was kidding, but I'm totally saying this on the show. So we had an author that contacted us this week, and this author said, I really want, so my goal is, so what are your, so one of the onboarding form or the form that they fill out when to do a call with me says, you know, what are your goals? My goals are, I want this book to be a movie. I want, it was some major music person in the industry. I want to work with this person to score the music for the movie. And then there were like five other things, right? And I told Amy, I read this and I told Amy, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like there's literally nothing. There's nothing that I can do as a marketing person that's ever going to live up to, I want my book to be a movie and I want to work with Elton John. This person didn't say Elton John, but I'm just putting it out there because it was top of mind. I want to work with Elton John like he did for The Lion King, and this movie and this whole big deal. And then I want plushies and I want all this other stuff. I told her, I'm like, I literally want like Jamie from Outlander to be upstairs in my bedroom. But that's something that you put in your diary. This is not really going to happen. And I'm not saying this to say that this person's goals were not aligned with reality, but it could happen, right? It could absolutely happen. It's not something that, and I'm probably not explaining this correctly, Amy, so you should just feel free to shut me down.
Nope. I like where this is headed.
It's not something that you wake up and just, it just shows up at your doorstep. And I know that there's like vision boards and all this other stuff, right? And people in The Secret, like, oh, if you think it'll be, I'm a big fan of all of that stuff, by the way. I love vision boards. I love all the things, but I also realize that just because
That's true. I'm going to say that. She's not just saying that to make this more palatable. She really is into all that stuff.
I love planners and vision boards and like The Secret. Like, I love all that stuff, but I also realize that I'm not going to probably put on my vision board a picture of Jamie from Outlander because I don't really think that. I mean, you also have to kind of, you know, lean to the somewhat realistic, although I still would really like to have a private plane, but who knows if that'll happen.
But no, I think you make a good point. There, those kind of big, massive goals cannot be hanging over your head every single day. And that cannot be the marker for the incremental success that it takes to get to that point. I mean, honestly, what is enough, honey? Over 8,000 books being published every day. And if there was a set list of things you have to do to get a Netflix deal, everybody would be getting a Netflix deal. We'd be like, Oprah, you get a deal, you get a deal, you get a deal. Follow this, you know, you follow this plan, you get a Netflix deal. That's not how it works. Even some of the best books that actually do deserve is a weird word, but would be super worthy of the screen won't ever get that chance because there are so many other things that happen that you have no control over, that we have no control over. You know what I mean? It's just, that's not how you can gauge whether or not something's working and whether or not this is the right industry for you is not the Netflix deal.
But then I also think that with that mindset, right? So then if you have, and again, I'm a big fan of all of the shoot for the moon. There's a great saying that I have in my office somewhere, shoot for the moon, at least you'll be among the stars. Like, I'm a big fan of all of that, as Amy well knows. Like, I'm actually kind of weird about that. I love that stuff. But what happens is when you focus on those big goals, you miss the things that really help to propel your success. You miss the things that bring gratitude. And part of the reason why we wanted to drop the show after Thanksgiving is because we are in the season of gratitude, right? So I've had authors that I've talked to who say, well, like, I did a Goodreads giveaway and I gave away 5 books. I was expecting 5 reviews. I didn't do that. So the entire Goodreads giveaway, I'm not doing that again. It was a complete and total failure. I think that's a really bad way to broad stroke a strategy. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get into this without really getting into the weeds, but when you do something, and I'm not necessarily saying, hey, I want everybody to drop everything you're doing, stop your Black Friday shopping and do a Goodreads giveaway. But what I'm saying is, if you do a strategy like that, you have to look at the benefits beyond right? So, okay. So maybe you didn't get 5 reviews. Maybe you didn't even get 1 review from these 5, but maybe one of those 5 people loved your book so much that they shared it on their social media that you have no way of knowing that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Or they bought it for a friend.
They bought it for a friend.
You know, one of those Amazon sales could have been them buying the book, or just because they mentioned it to a friend and their friend went and bought it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that when you get, a lot of times authors get caught up, you know, what propels this are a lot of times these Facebook groups where authors, and I'm not saying that you should get out of all your Facebook groups, I mean, I think, but you have to really kind of take some of that with a grain of salt, right? So sometimes you'll see in these Facebook groups, oh, I just sold 30,000 books in one day, yay me. And it's like, well, okay, so maybe that's possible. I'm not, you know, it's a weird dynamic, right? It's a weird kind of like, people can be anything online. People can say anything online. So you have to sort of take it a little bit with a grain of salt and not just assume that you're some big failure because you didn't sell 30,000 books in a day. To be really candid, I mean, every author you meet, I don't care how they're packaged, they are all facing the same challenges, is getting noticed getting people's attention in a noisy world. And I think the more that you can focus on the pathway, as opposed to this big movie deal. And I use the movie deal just as a placeholder because it's kind of an obvious, but the movie deal goal, as if I don't get that, then I am just a complete and total failure. You're going to be like the guy that I had years ago, who's now never writing a book again, which frankly is a really big shame, because I'm telling you, if you like a thriller, you would love this guy's books, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you make a good point too, Penny, that anybody can put anything online. It's like, I think we all know the whole Instagram versus reality thing. So when you see an author that has found great success with something, we get this a lot with Facebook ads too. You know, we have a lot of authors ask about Facebook ads because they heard on a writer's group that this author gets a lot of great play off Facebook ads. All those people have had a lot of things that didn't work as well.
Yeah.
Or they were running Facebook ads for 5 years before they started making sense.
Right.
But a lot of times that part isn't talked about, you know? So when you see authors that are getting wins that you're going, I want that. How do I get that? It's like, those people, I assure you, did not wake up yesterday on the release day of your book and just started racking up wins. That's just, it doesn't work that way for anybody. Even the most famous names that we know right now, that's not how it worked for them either.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing that is a little bit deceptive is like pre-orders, for example, right? So we get a lot of authors who come to us and they want to get lots and lots and lots and lots of pre-orders, right? And the reality of pre-orders is that the majority of people do not pre-order a book. And it's funny because I talked to an author last week, and I really hope that we end up working with him because he was a hoot. And he said to me, he goes, I want to do a pre-order, but I really know that nobody's going to buy my book during a pre-order. He goes, who pre-orders a book anymore? Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to start looking at these strategies as a way, you know, it takes 7 impressions to your book message or product to make a sale. And I would say in this environment, it's probably more than 7, right? But you have to look at everything that you're doing as a way to present your book to your to the reader. So essentially what you're doing, and it's appropriate since it's post-Thanksgiving, you're setting the table, right? You're setting your table for success, and you can't force readers to sit down and eat, but you can set the best table possible. And like doing a pre-order is great, but doing a pre-order and expecting thousands of book sales and expecting a bestseller list and expecting, you know, Oprah to show up at your house with a basket of goodies and a movie deal is, you're not going to get anywhere.
Right. And we've experienced this a little bit more recently, Penny. I know a couple times where people take what they know from other industries or other experiences and project that on books. And we did have a client, and they ended up like, I mean, it was fine. They handled it very well and they appreciated the education. But at the same time, we had an author recently that kind of approached the pre-order period as a projection of what their sales would be like post-release. And I'm like, that's not how books work. You know, like I know that there are some industries and some products where that is very much a thing, you know, where you take projections based on early sales and early, you know what I mean? But it's like, that's not how books work. And so to have those kind of expectations, you know, bringing different expectations from other industries, other experiences, other businesses you may have, and projecting those onto the book industry is also setting yourself up for failure most of the time too, because it's just such a unique industry to be in that it just doesn't, you know, it's apples and oranges for most of it.
Yeah, it definitely is apples and oranges. And one of the things that you mentioned to me, and I don't know if you want to address this or you want me to run with it either, is but the Amazon ranking, right? So if you're like me, I oftentimes watch my Amazon sales rank like a stock market junkie, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the things that you and I chatted about in text is, when should you be proud of your Amazon rank? Because a lot of times authors are like, well, if I'm not in the top 10, then I'm not really doing anything.
Right. Which is so far from the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What is the number that we kind of use as an example, Penny?
So 27,000 and less. So the lower your sales rank, obviously the more you're selling. 27,000 or less overall on Amazon is considered the top 1% of Amazon.
Wild.
But yeah. And the top 1% of Amazon with 8,216 books being published every day, which is staggering.
Every day. I feel like we can't, like, you know what I mean? Gloss over that number.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day. I know. But keep in mind that 99% of those authors who publish that, you know, who are publishing every day are anybody who's listening to this podcast, y'all probably are nodding when I say this. This is a big, confusing industry, right? And so a lot of times they'll publish a book and be like, okay, what do I do now? Which we have a podcast on that, by the way. But those of you who are listening are most definitely in that 1% who are out there marketing and doing things and getting your book out in front of people. But the problem with that number is that it's still dry. You're just cramming all of these books onto a bookshelf, and you're vying for people's attention. So 27,000 or less, top 1% of Amazon, that's pretty darn good, right? It's pretty darn good. And I think that, you know, be realistic about what you can and you can't do. So can you get 500 reviews on your book on Amazon? Sure. Can you get them in a month? No. Right. There's, because I'll tell you something. The other thing is, too, is that, and I taught the same author that I told you that I hope we really work with, because he was a hoot. He said to me, he's like, yeah, I already know my family and friends aren't going to buy or review my book. And I said, you know, that is so funny that you mentioned that, because that is one of the biggest fallacies in the industry. And it's not because you don't have awesome friends and family. It's not about that. But a lot of times authors, so I'll talk to an author and they'll be like, oh, you know what? I have 300 people in my contacts list. So I don't really need you guys out of the gate because I've already sold 300 books. I know they're all going to, and Amy's like laughing. Like,
sorry, I know. I had 20 people over for dinner last night. I'm sure they'll all buy a book.
Right, exactly. And they'll literally like, you're lucky if you sell one. And again, it's not because they don't want to support you, but let's face it, your book may not be everybody's cup of tea, right? And most of us, you know, okay, so you want to buy, I mean, your Aunt Mildred might buy a book just to support her nephew or her niece, whatever, right? But expecting your family and friends to buy enough books to support you out of the launch, do not, that's a problem. And expecting them all to review the book and then being discouraged when they don't, that probably creates many dicey Thanksgiving tables. I can tell you that right now. Right.
Right. I know. I wish there was a better way to understand the stats of the percentage of reviews to sales, you know, because I think it's a lot, sadly, a lot lower than authors expect, because there's always going to be that lag time. You know, some people just never review books. That's just the reality. You know, but some people are really good about it, but there's always going to be a lag time because people get busy. Like you said, doesn't mean they're not well-meaning, but you know, you are hyper-focused on the success of your book, and it is a blip in time for even your best friends and family, you know, in their world. And again, not because they don't care. It's just the reality. Like that's what we're living with.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think the number is like 3 or 4% of people who buy, just your average consumer. So not your family, friends, people you're connected with, blah, 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 whatever. 3 to 4% of people who buy books on Amazon actually review those books. So if you look at, so if you look at somebody like Colleen Hoover, who has thousands and thousands, thousands of reviews, you can, if you do the math, you can imagine like her book sales are just skyrocket. Right.
Right.
But it's true, because I mean, I have a book and I've told people about this book for years. I'm like, oh, you have to read this book. It's a great book. I love this book. And I literally love this book. It took me 4 years to write a review. It's so shameful to say that, but I'm like, oh my gosh.
And everybody listening, she knows better.
Right. I bought this book for somebody last year for Christmas, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to love this book. And then I was just like, pardon my language, I'm such a dumbass. Like, why have I not written? So I went on and reviewed this book. And I actually said in the review that I have so much remorse because I should have reviewed this book years ago when I first, because now I've told a bunch of people about it and I love it so much and that kind of thing. But so I think that to kind of bring this around, because I know we've gone off in a bunch of different tangents. If there's something that both Amy and I can leave you with in the new year, it's that think about your mindset, because the mindset is, it's hard. I know it's hard to stay motivated. Like, I get it. There's a lot going on. Everybody has a day. Most of us have a day job, unless you're really lucky and you earn all your money from your book, which is awesome.
Relative.
Right. Right. Exactly. But your mindset can absolutely make or break your success. And I think focusing on all of this great stuff that you're getting and not focusing on what you're not getting will get you much further in the new year.
Right. Focusing on what makes sense for where you're at right now. You know, what are the next 2 or 3 really cool things that could happen for you? And it's not 500 reviews, it's 5, you know, like,
right.
Like, right. That kind of, because we're not telling you, oh, don't have dreams, expect the worst, then you'll be happy as an author, you know.
Happy holidays, everyone.
I know. No, we're not saying that at all. We're just saying, you know, be realistic about what your wins are at this point, you know, and they will continue to accumulate.
And I think that if you do have big aspirations, if you do want to, like, And, you know, I'll be honest with you. So let me just, since I've been like super forthcoming in this, obviously now I've set myself up like, what is Penny Lie and all the other podcasts? So I used to write fiction. Please don't read any of my fiction books because I'm not a good fiction writer. But years ago, like, would I practice with a hairbrush accepting my Academy Award for my book turned to movie? 10,000%. I absolutely did that. Did it ever happen for me? Absolutely not. Right. So we all have those. And I think it's great to have those. And now I'm literally never going to live this down with Amy, just so y'all know. So just for the sake, I have forsaken myself this podcast. I've thrown myself off. So we could have a good show. And I'm never going to live this down with the hairbrush and the Academy Award speech. But, there are a million, maybe not a million, but there are a lot of little micro goals that you can start setting for yourself that are much easier to hit and frankly have the satisfaction and the dopamine hit to check it off your list or scratch it off your list or whatever it is. Sometimes I've actually added stuff to my list that I'm like, oh, I just did that and it wasn't on my list. And so I'm going to check it off just because you get that nice little like buzz to like, it's like, oh my gosh, I did something. That is something that will help to really propel your marketing. And it's something that feeds into your mindset and will keep you going into the new year and beyond. So we want to wish you all, this isn't our last show of the season, but happy Black Friday, everyone. I hope you get, if you're out getting great deals or you got home and you're in the car or whatever, I hope you got some really good deals. I hope you weren't one of those people that fought over a TV at Walmart. If you were, please text us pictures because we really want to see that. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next week. This is Penny Santivari and Amy Cornell. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.